Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, installing energy-efficient windows to help lower utility bills year-round. More at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, April 24th. I'm Abby Larico. Longtime U.S. Senator Dick Durbin is not seeking re-election. The East St. Louis native says he hopes Illinoisans look on his time in office favorably.
And I hope they believe I've worked hard at the job and I've done some things that might improve the lives of themselves and their families.
We'll hear from the Democrat who served in Congress for more than 40 years. Coming up after this news on The Gateway. Representatives from the Metropolitan St. Louis Sewer District joined Mayor Kara Spencer yesterday afternoon in North St. Louis, where a portion of the street collapsed last weekend on Cass Avenue. STLPR's Lucretia Wembley reports.
Spencer and representatives from the Metropolitan St. Louis Sewer District stood in front of the 20-foot-deep hole and assured residents that their safety is the top priority. Bess McCoy is a spokesperson for the sewer district. She recalled how in 2011, the district began a program investing $7 billion into the city and the county for sewer repairs. She says they're now halfway through that project.
But even when that's finished, we won't have replaced every single pipe in the ground. We have just under 10,000 miles of sewer line in our service area. All of that gets inspected on a routine basis.
McCoy says they're still assessing the damage of the recently collapsed streets in North City and Lafayette Square. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Illinois Department of Public Health has confirmed the first case of measles in the state. Capital News Illinois reports the measles diagnosis involves an adult in far southern Illinois, which was confirmed through lab testing yesterday. This is the only confirmed case in the state. Last week, the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services announced a case of measles confirmed in Taney County. Measles symptoms may take from 7 to 21 days to emerge. Symptoms include rash, high fever, cough, runny nose, and red, watery eyes. The Illinois Health Department says two doses of the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine are 97% effective in preventing measles. The national leader of Planned Parenthood was in the St. Louis area on Wednesday to tout the return of abortion access to Missouri. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has more on his conversation with Alexis McGill-Johnson.
After speaking at a Planned Parenthood Great Rivers fundraiser in Clayton, McGill-Johnson said Missouri provided a spark to the abortion rights movement last year. That's because Missourians placed abortion rights protections in the state constitution, something McGill-Johnson says her group is ready to defend in the coming years.
But every time they try to come for Planned Parenthood, they try to come for abortion access, we also demonstrate increasing support for our ability to access reproductive freedom.
Missouri Republicans in the legislature want to place a measure repealing what's known as Amendment 3 on a future statewide ballot, most likely in 2026. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
A bill to undo paid sick leave protections was once again the subject of an hours-long filibuster in the Missouri Senate overnight. Lawmakers adjourned around 1:30 this morning, with Democrats successfully tabling a bill that would amend the changes to state statute put in place by Proposition A. 57% of voters across Missouri approved Prop A in November, but now business interests and some Republican lawmakers are pushing to remove the provisions requiring employers provide minimum paid time off for sick workers. If the Senate takes up the bill again and makes changes, it will need to go back to the House for final approval. A Missouri man is fighting to clear his name following two decades in jail for a crime he and many experts say he didn't commit. As St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports, Michael Polite is still pushing to overturn his murder conviction 3 years after being released on parole.
Polite was 14 when he was arrested for allegedly killing his mother in rural Washington County. Legal experts and some jurors have since said he was convicted based on faulty evidence and got a poor defense from a court-appointed lawyer. Polite said on St. Louis on the Air that parole is better than prison, but it's still a form of punishment.
I have a lifetime of checking in with a parole officer, a lifetime of getting travel permits so I can travel to and from work. I'll never be able to vote. I'll never be able to own a firearm, go hunting or whatever. A felony conviction on your record, it holds you back in so much aspects of life.
Polite hopes Washington County's prosecuting attorney will pursue a wrongful conviction case or that Governor Mike Kehoe will issue a commutation. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Latinx Arts Network, a local arts organization, is hosting a week of arts events beginning today to highlight Latin American artists in the St. Louis area. Latinx Arts Week will include a culinary experience, a film festival, and art exhibitions. St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson has details.
Visual works by 13 St. Louis artists, including Miriam Ruiz, will be on display at the Luminary this week in an exhibition called A Land with No Name. It's part of the network's Arts Week, which runs through May 4th. Ruiz says Latin American artists in the area are often overlooked.
While I don't feel like we need to plead our case to be treated with humanity and dignity, it never hurts to say, look at the culture, the music, the food, the literature, the visual art, the people who live right next to you.
Festival goers can also take Spanish language tours at the St. Louis Art Museum and visit the Missouri Botanical Garden to learn about Latin and South American flowers. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
It's the end of a political era in Illinois, with five-term Democratic U.S. Senator Dick Durbin deciding he will not be seeking re-election next year. Durbin spoke with Dave McKinney to break the news that is sure to set off a major contest to succeed him.
At age 80, Durbin has had a big political choice to make about whether he would seek a sixth term in office next year. It's one of the most closely watched political storylines in Illinois. He's the number two ranking Democrat in the U.S. Senate and first got elected in 1996. Ahead of his public announcement today, Durbin spent the better part of an hour talking with me about his future plans. I start by asking him what was his decision.
I've decided not to run for re-election, so a year and a half from now, I'll be wrapping it up. I plan on working full-time until that moment, but I'm not going to be waging a campaign for re-election.
And what led you to that decision?
It's time. You know, if you're around the Senate for any period of time, something happens. You specialize in an issue. It's your major issue of the day, whatever it happens to be, foreign policy or defense, whatever it might be. But if you're a member of the Senate for a long period of time, you minor in an issue called aging. You observe your colleagues and watch what happens. And for some of them, there's this miraculous aging process where they never seem to get too old. You take Bernie Sanders, for example, who's older than myself, or Chuck Grassley, who still does a town meeting in every county of the state each year. But for a number of people, they're not so lucky. So you watch aging, and I try to gauge it to the point where I can walk out the front door. I don't have to be carried out, and I feel that way now. I'm physically and mentally strong, but I don't want to wait too long and test fate.
What do the people around you, your family, your friends, what do they think you should do?
They've been so supportive over the years, and this is a family undertaking, that basically they knew I had to make the decision, and they're with me, and that makes a big difference.
I asked Durbin when it clicked for him, when he knew this was the thing he was going to do.
It's hard to say when it became a final decision. Maybe last night. But I thought about it for a long time. You make decisions in life and say, what are you going to do next week? Well, what do you plan on doing this summer? What are you going to do next year? When you decide to run for the Senate, you know what you're going to be doing for the next 8 years. And in that period of time, your life is going to belong to somebody else. It won't be your own. And that's why this decision for me, you know, really came down to calculation of, at this age, 80 years of age, where do you want to be 8 years from now? And that was part of the calculation.
We're at this point in our democracy, in our politics. You're deciding to leave public service when there are really fundamental questions about, can American democracy survive? How difficult is it knowing that you're going to be turning the reins over to somebody else when we have this kind of existential moment?
We have a deep bench in Illinois, and I'm sure that a talented, skilled person will emerge to succeed me. I'm looking forward to that. But I thought about that over and over again. We're at a inflection point in terms of the future of our democracy. I'm the ranking Democrat on the Senate Judiciary Committee, an important position. I have opportunities and responsibilities when it comes to decisions of this administration that relate directly to the Constitution. I thought about that long and hard. If there was one thing that would draw me back in, it's thinking that over and over again.
I mean, how do you think this is going to end up?
You mean with Trump?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I've asked some skilled attorneys here in Chicago, what's the end game here? The court order, he defies it. The court tries to enforce it. Where do we go? And they said, Senator, we don't have any precedent in history for this. He is challenging the Constitution at a level we've never seen before. And when I think about that and what's at stake, yeah, I think long and hard if this is the right decision, but I know I've got to do it.
We spent some time talking about how Durbin got here, an ascension he credits to many people, but namely his Democratic predecessor, Senator Paul Simon. And his candidates undoubtedly line up to succeed Durbin. I ask him if he'll endorse any of them as Simon did for him when he first ran in 1996.
I don't plan to get involved in Democratic primary if there is one for the United States Senate. Let the voters decide. But I'm not going to rule out the possibility if something goes in a direction that I think is serious and I need to address it. But the starting point clearly, and I hope the end point as well, is that these candidates have to stand up for themselves.
The names that have been kicked around, everybody from Rahm Emanuel to Juliana Stratton to Raja Krishnamoorthy, Robin Kelly, Lauren Underwood. I mean, how do you size up that field? And do you think that any one of those has the capability to make an impact the way you have?
They're all quality individuals, don't get me wrong, but your list is not complete. A lot of people have contacted me and made it clear they wouldn't run against me, but they were seriously thinking about running for a vacant Senate seat. So that list could grow dramatically.
The talk turns to what Durbin is most proud of over his 42 years. He points first to the smoking ban on airplanes, a very personal achievement.
My father died when I was 14. He had lung cancer. He was 53 years old. 2 packs of Campbell's a day, and I stood next to his hospital bed when he died. And I didn't swear a vendetta against the tobacco companies for my father, but it crossed my mind when I arrived at the U.S. House of Representatives. Everyone was waving me off. Don't bring up an issue involving tobacco. This is going to divide the Democratic caucus. Turned out that there were enough people in the House of Representatives who were willing to stand by me on both political parties, and we got it done. That was a tipping point in the American attitude towards smoking. And people started saying, well, if it's unsafe to have secondhand smoke on a plane, why is it okay on a train? Why is it okay on a bus? Why is it okay in a hospital? And you watch the dominoes falling one after the other. And the attitude of America towards smoking, the number of young people who take up tobacco habits, has dramatically declined. I didn't know it at the time, but that was the tipping point.
How do you hope Illinois voters recall your tenure in office and you as a person?
Well, I hope they believe I'm honest, and I hope they believe I've worked hard at the job, and I've done some things that might improve the lives of themselves and their families. That's all I can ask for, is the bottom line.
Senator Durbin, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was Democratic Senator Dick Durbin speaking with Dave McKinney about his decision to not seek re-election. The story comes to us from member station WBEZ in Chicago. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.